time?
Does anybody know what time it is?
Yeah, don't worry about my nerd phone.
Okay, we got 3 minutes.
It's 6:50.
It's 6:50.
All right. 6:49 on my phone.
Okay, well, we have 1 minute.
Okay, yeah, in that case, all right, here's a story. One time when I was working at Pearl Art and Craft, one of the people working there got busted for stealing a person's credit card, and they took it home, and then they charged it until it wouldn't charge anymore.
Oh, no.
And because they thought they were Maury fucking Artie, they decided they would have everything delivered to the Pearl and not to their home address. And so imagine there's a Pearl Arts and Craft full of Pearl Arts and Craft employees who are all stifled artists, and they're wondering why there are three cop cars outside. And we all decided, oh, it's because we all steal from the Pearl Arts and Craft constantly, because why else would you work here? So we're all running around going, oh, my God, we're going to fucking jail. What am I going to tell my mom
about the Series 7s in my purse?
Like, Mom, that Carmine Red, it was just fucking calling to me. It was like $50 a tube. You do it too. But no, it turned out they were there for her. And the best part is the person she stole from actually told the cops, I want to be there when you bust her so I can tell her how much she screwed up my life. That wasn't a credit card. That was a debit card. My rent check bounced. My college loan check bounced. My daycare check bounced.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, of course, they let her out in handcuffs, but they couldn't do that before she actually accepted the big package from UPS for some reason. And she accepted it. She took it to the break room, unpacked it, put it all in a duffel bag she'd brought, ripped up the box, and then put it at the bottom of the trash can under all the other trash so she knew she was being shady.
Did she put the trash bag in a concrete block
and drove to Iowa throwing chunks out the window? But yeah, that is my Pearl Arts and Crafts story. It's okay to steal art supplies from Pearl Arts and Crafts, but your ass will go down for felony theft if you steal the money from the customers of Pearl Arts and Crafts.
Well, I think that's a perfect introduction to this is Striptease, Adult Comics, and the Perverts Who Draw Them. That would be us. I'm officially the moderator, but mostly I just want to talk with you guys.
Right.
People. So let's go down the line and introduce ourselves.
Oh, boy. Okay. You guys hear me okay? I feel like I'm not.
Yeah.
Bring it closer.
Hello?
Is that turn on at all?
Is this on? Okay, here, take this one.
All right. I'm double microphoning this. Okay. My name is Lindell Kwani. I do a comic called Oh Human Star, but I've also participated in anthologies like Smut Peddlers 1 and 2. I have contributed a guest comic to Erica's Oh Joy Sex Toy. So, yeah, I have an experience with this.
You're crushing it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm Erica Mullen. I do Oh Joy Sex Toy, which is a weekly webcomic that reviews sex toys and what's going on over there?
Cards Against Humanity, I think.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Anyway, sex toy reviews, sex education, interviews with sex workers, basically anything that revolves around sex, sexuality, gender, I do comics on, and I hire people to do guest comics for me, such as Blue and Leia and Spike, and, like, you know, people. To put in alternative views. And I've also been in the first Smut Peddler. Yeah.
Hi, I'm C. Spike Trotman, or just Spike. I am the editor for life of the Smut Peddler series of anthologies, which have pulled in excess of $250,000 via Kickstarter funds. It has transformed my life, becoming a pornographer, and simply because I was tired of there being tons of porn in comics, but no porn that I liked, so I made porn that I liked and asked people to make the kind of porn I'd like. And Smut Peddler has completely changed... God, this sounds really fucking full of myself.
Do it.
Whatever. Its bonus model and sort of philosophy has had a huge ripple effect on independent comics in general, from the bonuses that are provided to participants in anthologies to the amount of sex-positive pornography available in the independent comic scene.
Drop the bar back down. I'm Leah Wethington, and my main series is The Legend of Bold Riley, which is a fantasy adventure book, but I've also been in both copies of Smut Peddler. I wrote for Erica Moen on the first one and for Kendra Wells on the second. And I've also got a story in the upcoming Beyond anthology from Spay Monster.
I'm watching your microphone just like dip down.
I know.
This isn't good.
The mic is
not
so disappointed.
I was
getting
close
with mic.
All right, so yeah, we all draw dirty pictures, and I guess like. Why would you people do this?
Pretty easy. I draw the kind of porn that I wish existed, and I must be doing something right because, true story, I've had people come up to me at cons and say, I thought I was asexual, and then I borrowed my friend's copy of Smut Peddler. And no, it turns out I love porn, I just hate shitty porn. And that means the world to me, because I know what it's like to kind of buy into that stereotype of, like, you know, sex is something women tolerate and men, like, pursue with the single-mindedness of a wild animal. Mm-hmm. And it's entirely not true. Like, first of all, sex drives just, you know, they're all over the map regardless of gender or anything like that. And secondly, you know, the kind of porn that is produced, and we're not talking comics, we're talking kind of the overarching porn world, is not particularly made with women in mind. And I'm not saying that the porn I make speaks for all women. I'm just saying I'm a woman, and this is the kind of porn I'm into. And fortunately, a lot of people also like it. And it's just been really gratifying making what I love, putting it out there, and having people tell me they love it too.
Hey, Spike, you have an interesting model for who gets to contribute to Smut Peddler. What is that model?
That model is, it's kind of divided down the middle. It's half invite and then half open call, which means when I decide to make a porno anthology, it is half people that I email personally and ask them to participate, and then other half is I just say, you know, send me a proposal and we'll see. And the creative teams for those... regardless of whether they're, you know, invitee or open call, a person who identifies as a woman must be a part of every creative team. It could be 13 people, but a woman needs to be one of those 13 people. And I get a lot of shit for that, but quite frankly, it stops a lot of fucking crap right at the door.
There's a term for that, and that's orgy rules. No, like, unattached men can come to the orgy unless they bring a woman with them.
Exactly, yeah. It's just...
Otherwise, you just end up with a bunch of dudes like, well, I don't want to touch dicks with
them. Their dicks hanging out, looking at each other expectantly.
You find a woman that was like, oh, this is okay.
Yeah, and I've got this. I'm gonna get in trouble all over the place. I get a lot of proposals from teams that are one man, one woman, and without looking, if I just read the script, I can tell if the man's the writer or the artist. Because if the man's the writer, like the email that I sent back is like, we have a lot of work to do. Because it's like, okay, first of all, no one would say this, no one would do this. You are writing pornography that is informed by other pornography, not that is informed by the sex people actually have. And that's like a big no-no with me.
It's just like all theater.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I feel like you read like a man's erotic work and you're like, do you know how this is done?
Yeah.
Are you good at, do you like this? Is this just like a paycheck to
Yeah,
you?
Or they think this is just how porn is done. And you know, it's like, oh, pornography, okay, that consists of a series of set pieces. And first there needs to be the woman and then there needs to be the cable guy. And, you know, there needs to be... Oh, now Spike likes it when there's a reason people have sex. Oh, Mr. Cable Man, I sure would love free HBO. And it's like, no, it's not... No, try. At least try.
So, Leia, what brought you to Dirty Pictures?
I'm disgusted.
I agree.
I have deep emotional reasons for how I approach it, but as far as doing it, it's like I hit puberty and it was like... the first, like, hunt in the Serengeti. So, yeah.
The boys, like, looked up like gazelles over the tall grass.
My wedding ring is tattooed on, though, so sorry.
And they see Leia like a lion, like, moving her butt, getting ready to spring.
Fucking stalking through high school, like a leopard, just grab one, drag it up a tree. Jewish boys.
Yeah, I got it. See, this is amazing because I was the exact opposite in high school, and, you know, everybody who's an armchair psychologist, get those notepads ready. I had a weird major crush on two guys in high school, and one of them was a guy named John, except his name wasn't John. He was from Korea, and I'm not talking Korean-American. He was from Korea. And we hung out a lot, and the best memory I have of high school, literally, is one time we found a pair of fake blue contacts. And he's like, you should wear one, and I should wear one. Fuck yeah. So we're in the back of the bus trying to shove these fake blue contacts into our eyes, and our eyes are burning and tearing.
Contacts that we found on the ground.
Just a case of, like, they were temporary contacts that came in a sealed package.
Hey, yeah. You know that flesh in your face that's, like, the most sensitive organ you can possibly have?
Where it's like, if I had that just think we could fix it time machine, it's like you would see my big fat all black ass stomping out of the time machine and pulling 16-year-old me out of like my whatever the fuck I'm doing and just like one quick slap in the back of my head, fucking make out with him, what's wrong with you?
You share blue contact. That's baby territory.
Look,
at minimum.
He's really fucking sweet. He's really fucking cute. You are literally passing each other notes in class. You dissected a cat together. Tongues out, bitch. But like, it didn't happen because we were just so very 16, you know?
And what about you? Wait, was my original question like, what brought you to
what
porn?
Brought you to
yeah,
porn?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay, so, speaking of teenage years, I was what you would call like heterosexual on paper all the way through high school, all the way through college. My first year out of college, so I put out the call for smut peddler entries. So I was like 21. I had been reading her webcomic since high school, so I was like, okay, I guess I can try this. And I was like, I'm gonna try doing about two women. I'll just submit a proposal that I put more effort into than I think my college application. Like, I went over that thing with a fine-tooth comb like it was my resume. So I submitted my application. Somehow I got accepted.
That's because you're good.
Yeah. And so I ended up drawing lesbian pornography at my mom's kitchen table. And, yeah, that was basically that. I got into Smut Peddler, and then I just... kept drawing it because it was fun and I figured out some things about myself. Yeah, it was one of those things where it was not really something I considered about myself because I feel like that switch didn't flip on my head until I was 21 anyway, and then I was like, boobs, of course. Yeah, it was, you know, very helpful for me, and it felt like maybe a better storyteller, maybe better relationships, and it was just, you know, it was a good career path to go down along with my other interests.
She was sitting under the boob tree and a boob hit her on the head.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question though. Did you, you don't count because you don't roll that way. Did you ever do the thing in...
Sorry, I like dit, Leia.
So do I. I'm just saying. I'm coming from the bisexual greeting. Yes. So I'm not going to refute that stereotype. Did you ever do the thing when you were a kid with your girlfriends where it was like, let's practice kissing?
I was too scared to, like, have anything to do with anybody. Like, I just assumed because straightness is the default. I was like, boys are fine, I guess. And then, I switched on. I was like, boys are great. And then, like, all my girls, like, friends would go by and be like, oh, hey, we're just jogging in our sports bras. And then it got complicated. You know, I had no childhood girlfriends. That would have been awesome. I was really
no, I'm not
scared.
Saying girlfriends, because that would be gay.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
You're just practicing.
That's practice for boys.
That's pretending our favorite anime.
You be the Utena, and I'll be the Anshi.
Yeah. Oh.
That one fucked my shit up. Rotel Dorado and Revolutionary Girl Utena, like, changed me fundamentally. Who I am as a person, like, on every level.
So I'm old, so for me, it was... I can't really, like, bag on Twilight too hard, because I spent way too many weekends as a teenager obsessively watching Lost Boys and not knowing why. And it's like, you're gonna, like, go and look that up. Everyone here who's, like, 20 is gonna be like, what? And I'm gonna go look that up and be like, ew. But seriously... super fucking cool in a teenager, right down to the cheesy candlelit child's choir, like, sex scene that was going on. And I
fucking loved it. I was too clueless to realize why I loved it. And, yeah. You know, Keith or Sutherland's mullet was my whole world.
Wait,
hey,
no one was shaming you.
No.
Yeah, no mullet shaming.
I'm changing around on mullets. Yeah, I was in, that was Sailor Uranus and Neptune for me when I was a kid. Like, you know, I was fascinated with it, couldn't quite figure out why. Mm. Just like the whispered things among the school era. It's like, I hear in Japan that they're not cousins.
No.
Yeah, that's what the internet says.
For me, I found a lemon on fanfiction.net. Anybody who recognizes what a lemon is, it's like you were the internet.
Shame on you. Shame.
So I came in from the background having a... my dad was super liberal, but my mom was super, super, super conservative, and sex is horrible, and blah, 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 blah at me. And so I was very ignorant about sex. I was very scared of sex growing up. I thought, like, just it's going to attack you at some point.
That's Leia.
I could sense Leia was out there somewhere.
I'm in the bushes.
Nervous gazelle.
Don't walk by tall grass.
There's a number of years.
Jesus Christ.
But then as I got older, I started to learn, like, no, actually sex can be this really positive thing. It can be really funny. There's a lot of humor in sex. Like, sex mishaps are hilarious. Oh, yeah. And you can bond over them. And just, I started learning all this stuff. And I was like, why didn't somebody tell me this earlier? So the comics I'm making now are not so much erotic. They're not made to, like, turn you on. But it's just, like, this is how this sex toy goes into your body, and here's, like, there are no questions. When you look at my comic, you understand what parts your body is supposed to hit. When I do sex ed, I have this thing about, like, how to have anal sex, and, like, it's going here, it's doing this, just all that kind of stuff.
Snails are involved?
Yeah, the cute little nails. What are they called? What's the...
Anal
safety snails.
It took me a while to figure out that was ass.
Yeah.
So I'm really quick.
She was like, anal safety snails, that makes sense. So we're like, spells ass if you abbreviate it. And she goes, oh shit.
That did not occur to me. And I was like, anal safety snails.
Because you're professional.
I thought they were snails because you were supposed to go slow.
But no, here's the thing. Okay, for those that don't know this, so there's the anal safety snails in my comic, and they pop up and they give you advice about anal stuff. And the reason why my husband was reviewing a fleshlight, which is shaped like a butt, and he's like, hey, just like actual anal sex, you need to like kind of go slow to ease it in. And I had just been drawing like my husband talking the whole time. I was like, oh, this is so repetitive. And I had just done this painting of a snail, because I really like snails. And I was like, I'm just going to make a snail say this, just pop it in. He was like, Eric, this is way too random. Take this out. And I was like, no, they're the anal safety snails. Snails go slow. Oh, snails are slimy. Oh, snails are really good at communicating. I just want to draw this. Just let me have this.
And then the snails.
And then it turned out like ASS is an acronym. Well, I don't know. It just all worked out.
And now you can buy a hoodie.
Yeah. Exactly. And you get to explain to everyone at Thanksgiving what you're wearing.
Why was I telling you guys about
that? I don't know, but I appreciate it.
Well, basically, today as an adult, I'm trying to make the comics that I very much needed when I was 15. Just something that is not, like... When you read my comics, my goal is that you don't feel uncomfortable, you don't feel kind of, like, skeeved out. You're just like, haha, I'm laughing at these hilariously awful puns, and I'm learning something. So, yeah, that's why I do
right
this.
On.
And, I mean, like, the non-judgment that's in your comics, too.
Yeah,
it's just, like, here are the facts, ungirded, because I grew up in the Midwest, so you can imagine what my sex education was like. Not good. We used to have to sit through the born-again virgin, like, purity. And this is public school, by the way. So thank God my parents are scientists. But, yeah, just the unvarnished, you know, of any agenda.
Yeah.
I mean, no word can be purely unbiased.
Yeah, but it's very fact-based.
But, yeah.
It's really cool.
And it's accessible. Like, you've made that available to young people who maybe grew up Dayton, Ohio, let's say.
Yeah.
Centerville High School.
Chosen randomly.
Chosen randomly out of all the high schools in America. You know, kids
could find it.
It's interesting you should say that because, like, my sex education was extremely thorough when I was young, and I got vaguer and vaguer as I got older. My dad is a doctor, and I do not remember this, but I've been told this by multiple people, multiple times, so I have every reason to believe it's true. When I was 3 or 4 years old, I asked my dad where babies come from. And my dad, he's not a big fan of baby talk. He doesn't ask you if you need to poo-poo. He asks you if you need to defecate, even if you're a 4-year-old. And he went downstairs and he got his old medical school textbooks and he sat me down and he was straight up to a 4-year-old girl in pigtails. The penis goes in the vagina and ejaculates sperm, which is created in the testicles and stored here. And the prostate produces seminal fluid. And then it's like, if there's an egg, and then it's ovulating. Any questions? I was like, no.
You know what that was? That was like giving a 4-year-old wine so that they don't have the taste. They're like, ah, that's gross. And then they don't drink until they're...
Yeah, I realized that. And it's like, but the thing is, it must be true because I do not remember ever not knowing where babies come from. Like, everyone was, like, learning where babies come from, I was all like, they don't know this. But as I got older and older, it eventually, it devolved into, if you get pregnant, just don't come home. Like, that was the thing. Don't get pregnant. If you get pregnant, don't come home.
And if you have sex, you will get pregnant.
Oh, no. Do not ever have sex.
Immediately.
You will have AIDS. I didn't know that you will have AIDS, but I definitely got the, do not have sex with anybody. And if you get pregnant, just straight up don't come home because you won't have a home here. My dad was a big Dr. Laura fan. You remember her? Yeah. My dad loves Dr. Laura.
That's healthy.
And that's her whole, you know.
I had a weird thing when I was a kid. Like, I was not interested in sex or boys or girls or anything other than, like, the Disney afternoon cartoons until, you know, I hit puberty and then it was off to the races. But my mother is a botanist, and so the first time I learned about sex and reproduction in any context was with plants. And I remember at one point as a kid, I asked my mother, so when you, like, have sex, like, how do you know? Because to me, I thought that shit occurred like pollination. I thought that, like,
a bug lands on you and your mom looks pregnant.
Yeah, like a bee lands on you and then boom, baby. And, like, you know, and then you have a mom and a dad and whatever. And I remember very clearly my mother looking at me like, is she an idiot? Like, just because she didn't understand why I asked a question, like, how do you know when you're having sex? And I remember her like freezing for a moment. And I had to do a lot of math here. She was already on the fence as to whether or not I was gonna make it in life. She just looked at me for a second and then goes, Leia, you're gonna know.
I remember my mom was very, like, upfront about, you know, the terms. She was very much of the opinion that, like, little girls should be able to call their vaginas instead of their, like, hoo-haws or whatever they are, their little... I don't remember what the cute euphemisms kids are.
Oh, there's a million and one fucking bullshit terms for your labes.
Personally, I like the good China, because you only get it out of the company you really love.
The meat grinder, but that's way better.
Okay, like, so, good lord, look at him. He's gonna make me get out of the
chair. My mom was very, like, she tried to explain, you know, girls have vaginas, you know, boys have penises, so and so and so. I knew the general area of your body where the vagina was supposed to be. I did not realize the vagina and the anus were separate things. What end they came out of. I wasn't quite aware that you needed outside help for pregnancy. So at some point when I was 5 or 6, I became convinced that I would just, like, poop out a baby. So there was a solid year where every time I took an extremely large dump, and make sure it was baby shaped. Like, that was not.
Motivation for being a happy person, clear.
So, speaking of in 2013 for Oh Joy about like how pregnancy works, and I thought, okay, wait, I'm 31 now, so I was 29 then, and I was like, I'm 29 years old. I know how a baby gets made, but just to be sure, I'm gonna like make sure I read up on every single stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how babies get made. I thought that you ovulate and it goes out of your ovary and it goes down the fallopian tube and it lands in your uterus and then sperm is up there and then they have, like, they do their thing and then it just implants right there. No, in conception actually happens in the fallopian tube. You ovulate, there's an egg right there outside it and the sperm go all the way up.
Oh,
then they
is that why tubal pregnancy?
Yeah, that's why tubal pregnancy happens.
Wait, is that the same as ectopic pregnancy?
Ectopic pregnancy and tubal pregnancy.
That's basically where, like, it plants and starts growing up
too,
which is not
what it's
I
heard
about the more you know.
I thought ectopic pregnancy was where it's down in the uterus, they connect, and then it goes all the way back up. Learning a lot of stuff that I did not know before. So comics education.
Comics education.
I should have prepared questions.
Aren't you moderating this whole show?
I got as far as inviting people I wanted to talk to. I got us here. My job is done.
This is basically my kitchen table.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said you get submissions and you can tell the gender of the writer and the artist?
Yes.
It seemed you were saying that typically, okay, now there's no black and white.
Yeah, obviously.
If you do one thing, I'll link
this is assumed. I would never make like 100% blank statements and say everyone who identifies as X does Y, everyone who identifies as A does B.
But
and if you're a man, you're bad at it, you're wrong. Full stop across the board. 100% target.
Also, all women are out to get you.
Yep. We are here for your sperm.
Yeah. All right, but speaking in generalities, it seemed like you were saying that dudes have already had so much exposure to porn that they figured out the formula. They know how you're supposed to write porn. They've had all this reserve to research from.
Absolutely.
And yet when a, generally speaking, lady is coming at porn, you're not, like, what's the difference?
They're not
there?
Coming at it with this preconceived thing about how the porn goes and where the porn starts and where the porn ends and why the porn is happening. The best thing I can compare it to is that every once in a while you'll come across a webcomic and it's really 100% clear whoever is making that webcomic has only read manga. And that is because there are translation artifacts and simple, you know, just sort of facial expressions and mannerisms that, by and large, only occur in comics that are made in Japan. There are phrases that no native English speaker says, like, ah, well, I can't be helped, you know, as just sort of, I give up, everything sucks. Or, I will never forgive you as an angry invective.
Spike, do your best.
Believe
in yourself.
Stuff like that. And, you know, the most egregious is, like, if it literally reads backwards on the page, because the manga they buy reads from right to left, therefore the manga they make reads from right to left. And that is the voice of someone with one influence. And when I get porno, and it's scripted by a dude, again,
generally speaking,
they have the one influence of, like, the porn that is mainstream, like the video kind of porn I'm talking about. It has been distilled down to this, like, 200 proof pure fucking sucking action that is like it's military in its efficiency. And the actors are like, they're at the fucking sex Olympics, you know? They say certain things and do certain things that aren't necessarily sexy. They're just what you say and do in porn. And that happens a lot when I get scripts from, generally speaking, men. And I can't work with that shit. I'm sorry. I can't.
Well, do you think that some of it...
I kill feed stories where it's like they've turned in something that the man wrote and the woman illustrated. And I read through it and I was literally like, this can't be fucking saved. Here, go.
Be free.
Yeah.
Do you think that some of it comes down to imagination? Because, like, I have I don't want to blow anybody's mind, but consumed an enormous amount of pornography in my day. And especially when I'm going through anything that is heterosexual or, God forbid, lesbian in the mainstream.
Lesbian.
Yeah. Bitch, take those press-ons off. Like, nobody.
Oh, my God. Every time I see something with nails, like, fingernails, yeah. That's supposedly lesbian pornography.
They put their face next to the vagina.
Yeah. Just put an immersion blender down there. Fuck it. It's weird. It takes so long to find anything that is even, like, remotely acceptable to me. And then I can't even get started doing, you know, whatever I was going to do, make a sandwich or, you know, like, paint my fence outside, you know, hold some things while I watch my pornography. You can't even get started on that because it's like I'm just waiting. Yeah. For the other shoe to drop. Like, the second somebody spits on a girl, I'm done. Yeah. Out. Like, that's it. That's my day.
Yeah. I can't. It's like there's so much in there where it's like, you know, you try your best to sort of, yeah. You're being served a shit salad and you're trying to just pick out the corn kernels that look like, okay. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's ruined. It's covered in shit.
Build up your imagination if you want to get anything accomplished. Yeah.
Which is why I decided, no, fuck this shit. I'll just make my own.
Yeah.
And screen my porn for me. So, like, and he knows that I don't like. Okay, and if you do like spitting porn, that's totally cool.
Yeah,
not my thing. Yeah. Kind of kills my boner when I see that in porn. So, like, he watches it to make sure nobody gets spit on, and then he's like, here, baby, you'll like this porn.
I'm even open to the idea of somebody, you know, erotically spitting on somebody, but it's like, in that mainstream porn, it is so performative and so theatrical that it's like there's no element of people actually. Having sex.
Yeah, it's Shakespearean in its complexity and
there you go.
Complete divorce from reality.
So it's just, and I mean, like, it's a performance. Like, you're selling me theater. I would just rather have, you know, like the Chris Nolan prestige of pornography as opposed to, you know, the Transformers 3 of pornography.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where, I mean, I can't watch video porn. Like, I'm like these gross bitches. And every once in a while, I'm on Tumblr, and I'll see someone has illustrated a story that a wordsmith has crafted. And the story happens to be, gosh, I don't know, let me think of something totally random I don't actually really enjoy. Like, I don't know, Heavy from TF2, plowing medic in the shower. Not that I get that. And I see that, and I'm like, oh. And then I get to find a new author, because if it inspires someone to make a piece of art, let's see, shall we?
Let's just take a second and talk about fan fiction as how it relates to women in terms of slut, because I always get a little bit tired of, like, women in particular really interrogated on, like, why they like certain things. It's like, I don't know, why do you like the bullshit you're into? Fuck you, it makes your dick hard, I don't care. Yeah. Shit that I don't know. Just let me buff a muffin and, like...
Yeah, honestly, I have very, you know, being a pornographer, I have some theories about sort of the effect of fan fiction and how when things get really popular... I mean, there's tons of fan fiction I'm not into because I'm not into those specific fandoms. But, like, for example, Avengers, there's all kinds of reimaginings and pornos of Avengers and Captain America and all that other stuff. And it's because, to me... The people who are writing that fan fiction and doing that fan art, whatever, they have an emotional connection to these characters. These characters have been defined for them, so they care about them. And when the porn is made, even if it's like a 8-paragraph, just fucking lemon kind of thing, they know who those people having sex are, and they can easily imagine a motivation that's not free HBO.
And there's, I cannot remember the name of the woman who did the spoken word piece, but what she was saying was that she prefers to read something like fan fiction, because even when it is just like a completely explicit, like, drabble, which can be like a short fic, for those of you who, I don't know, have jobs, even when it's that, fan fiction and things of that nature sort of imply that the characters keep existing outside the sexual context. Mm-hmm. It's not that you need to, like, know every single, like, dewy, you know, sunlit moment in their life or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's just that they are people experiencing sex, like, in their lives. Like,
and they're three-dimensional people.
Yeah.
So, the wild thing about fan fiction, erotic fan fiction, is when there are, like, multiple different interpretations of, like, say, a fictional couple.
That is so interesting.
Yeah. Like, I was never super big into fan fiction. A couple summers ago, I was really into the movie Pacific Rim. And, okay, all right, so you might be familiar. Everyone's really into the two scientist characters bonding. Really explore them being transgender in different, like, you know, interpretations. Like, one's transgender, another one's transgender. And, like, reading all of them together in, like, these different, like, interpretations, like, all independent, but somehow together in this weird fanfiction universe. Doing things that, not to mention, I would have never seen in mainstream fanfiction that people don't even acknowledge exist. Like, these people, kinds of people existing. Like, that's kind of cool. Yeah. Like, it's kind of, they're like avatars of, like, this multi-dimensional thing.
I saw a picture on Tumblr a while ago, and, I guess it's important to note I'm probably missing the context because I haven't seen the movie, but it was a version of Bucky and Captain America, and except in this version, Bucky still had the one arm, but he had been a bodybuilder who had been in a terrible car accident, and Captain America had never taken the super serum, so he was still kind of like this twiggy, skinny guy who had a lot of health problems, and they were dating because they met in their therapist's office, and it was all like, at this point, it's like, wow, it's so divorced from what Bucky Barnes and Captain America actually are. It's kind of fascinating.
Essentially, yeah. I'm interested, especially when people do like kind of like original, and I'm talking about in terms of erotica too, when they do the AU, which is like
the AU.
You wrote an original fucking thing, just switch the name. That's how Twilight got made.
Yeah, but, exactly.
I mean,
and 50 Shades of Grey, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yes. Like, you know, or the AU, or the two scientists from Pacific Rim work at Michael's or something.
Yeah. Oh, my friend Britt Sabo, she's got her Joanne's Fabric.
That's AU.
Bitch, you need to calm down. But I mean, especially it's interesting to see, like, in the scope of fanfiction or art or whatever, it's almost like you get to go down every single road at once, like in possible directions. Because surprise, I'm gonna bring up Dragon Age. There's my people.
What's a Dragon Age?
It's a video game.
I'm kidding.
It's one. You do it.
Don't know exactly what a Dragon Age is thanks to.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I've dragged everybody kicking and screaming.
I probably lost 3 weeks of my life to Skyrim, no joke here.
But there's two characters in the current game, Dorian and Ironbolt. And the fanfiction's great because it's like it's a BDSM relationship between like a dude who's kind of closeted and fucked up about it and a Minotaur. Don't worry about it. And they're all so beautifully explored and they're filthy. Have you noticed, when you're accepting things for Smut Public, do you ever find
trends?
The pornography that, like, porn for women, it's like all gauzy curtains. And like, this was what lesbian sex was to me for a while. Because every time I saw a depiction of it was like fucking curtains. Just like glowing chiffon curtains.
Do you think that was a euphemism for like flat?
No! Lesbian stuff in movies, which I actively sought out as a kid. Like, no, I just love the action scenes between but every time that I saw it, it was like curtains gently, like, blowing in a breeze, always candles. Bitches could not fuck without candles. And it's like, there was no suggestion of penetrative sex, no suggestion of, like, I think it's none of that. It was just all, like, caressing. Back of the
hand. It's interesting you should say that because, like, the one sex scene in Lost Boys has candles and curtains.
Every fucking time. It seems to have changed a little bit. I was really excited when I was watching Black Swan. I was like, oh, do you acknowledge that women actually go down on each other? That's cute. We got there. Like, we really made progress.
Honestly, I think a lot of the sort of, like, porn for women, apart from the, like, genuinely insulting shit, like, every once in a while you'll go into, like, a fucking, I don't know, a greeting card store, and there'll be like a joke book called Porn for Women, and it's all pictures of men doing the laundry.
Fuck you.
Yeah, how about you? My entire asshole.
Oil that man up and get his dick out. Like,
yeah.
Don't insult
a lot of porn for women for me. me feels kind of focus grouped in the sense that a bunch of men got around a table and went, okay.
This is what doesn't make us feel.
What do women like?
Candles.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then they should like stop and talk about their feeling. No, I'm good. Just some fucking cunnilingus of people who care about each other, okay?
Yeah. Hey, Lou, I've got a question for you. So, what I understood when you said that you saw Spike's call for submissions to Smut Peddler, had you drawn anything dirty before that, or was that your foray into dirty pictures?
Unless you count, like, some pencil drawings on computer paper I had in a binder under my bed. Like, that's pretty much it. And, like, honestly, at the time I was a virgin. And
That's cool.
Yeah, so, I was trying to go off of, like, for a story, something I knew, and at the time, the one thing I knew really well had to do with, you know, digital stimulation. And one thing that I realized that I hadn't really seen in sexy stuff was that when you're, you know, after you're done with digital stimulation...
That's fingering, guys.
Fingering.
Yeah. I was going to ask, are you talking like, beep, bop, boop? No.
Someone or yourself or whatever, the smell will last for weeks. That can be awesome or that can be tormenting and you feel like everyone knows. Like, that's the thing. Like, so my story was just like really kind of weird magical realism.
I like
back
that.
At it now. Like, it went from that basic idea of like, you know, this is a thing that you did with a very, very widely used implement on your body, and everyone knows. Right. That's something I felt like I knew that I had a handle on and that I could make into something real.
Do you have a hand?
Yeah, I have a hand. But yeah, like, I felt like I never really seen that acknowledged, which I would imagine it's not a completely uncommon practice in sexual activity. I mean, imagine everyone's familiar with it, I would hope, but yeah.
I have like, no idea what you're talking about. Can you go into deep detail?
Yeah, it was just one of those things where, like, I was trying to, like, find something, you know, that was meaningful for me at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as my career has gone on, I've had more, you know, sources to draw upon in one way or the other. So it's, like, one of those things where, you know, I kind of didn't realize how much, you know, what my concepts of pornography came from a very, very limited, very filtered source that didn't really apply to me or what I was going through at the time.
It's kind of interesting you should say that because my first Smut Peddler story was just me being an asshole.
Oh, please tell
me. Okay, my first Smut Peddler story and the first Smut Peddler I published was basically me coming to an epiphany years ago. Oh, wait. When the Virgin Mary gets pregnant with Jesus, that's pretty much the definition of without consent. That's kind of horrible. And so, like, it's non-fucking-consensual, you know? It's non-consensual reproduction. And I decided I was going to try and turn the story of the conception of Jesus into something consensual. And, yeah, it's about the Virgin Mary. It's about the Annunciation. And weirdly enough, the part I'm proudest of is... the god creatures that flank the first and last page, which is like lion head creature and cow head creature and man head creature, with all the multiple eyes and the lion bodies and stuff. And spent forever on that. I did a bunch of research. I was tormenting my friends with like, oh god, okay, so it says here that the Jews of Morocco wore henna, but it doesn't say anything about in Judea if they were wearing henna at the time. Like, do I go out on a limb and put henna on the Virgin Mary? Would that be going too far? And they're all like, you're writing porn! And I'm like, no, it has to matter, it has to matter, it has to be realistic. Like, for starter, the Virgin Mary, like, that fucking little white girl shit is out the door. No, she's from the Middle East. And the one change I had to make, because I'm too pretty for jail, is she's not 14. Like, she's clearly 18. And that's my story, I'm sticking to it. And when I drew what God looked like, my primary motivation is like, this has to look like whatever appears to her in her room tonight has to look like something you would look at it for 5 seconds and be like, yeah, let's do this. So the inspiration. This is why you should find... I feel real bad that I have no Smut Peddler ones for sale here. They're all sold out. But you know who's currently playing good. Imagine that guy, Jason Momoa, right?
Yeah.
And he is like 12 feet tall.
Smoldering cock.
With a giant, with a cock like that, with flames licking up the sides. And his head is on fire. His halo is just fire. And he's just crouched in your room and he's all like, hey. And the first thing he does before you have sex is he blesses you with perfect knowledge of the world. And you know, after that, I mean, for a lot of people, all you gotta do is buy dinner. And so, yeah, then she has incredible, bizarre sex with giant Jason Momoa's.
Can I say something? The one panel that I remember really having an impact on me the first time I read it was like, she's like being caressed by the gigantic Jason Momoa, and like she's like slowly running her hand through her bush, and I was like, oh my god, she has a bush. Like, that was another thing I'd never seen.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, we got 5 minutes left, so we should probably start taking questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, this is.
First,
I just want to say I know it's kind of a thank you for, you know, clarifying. Like, yeah, we're not talking about all guys here, you know, I know that's. And that kind of leads into a question I have, and it's something I've noticed with a lot of erotic comments and all of the like sex positive community, and it's like there's a lot of women doing it, and there's a lot of really strong female groups, and like it's really like impressive a lot of the things you guys have done, and in a lot of ways I'm really envious. And with a lot of the male centered forms you talked about is very bro, you know, it's very like male dom in a specific way, and it's very misogynistic in this specific way. And a lot of guys I've talked to, and myself included, have kind of, there isn't really a strong sense of it's okay to explore your sexuality as something mm-hmm. to enjoy. And you don't see a lot of guys kind of trying to reach out to be a part of those communities and mm-hmm. kind of be a part of these things. And I'm curious, do you guys have any ideas why this might be that you see these sort of different pressures on men?
I think masculinity is incredibly fragile. And I think, like, the idea of being seen as a quote-unquote man's man is something that a lot of dudes guard with their lives, and it's just like, it manifests in bizarre ways, from I have to buy the body wash and the black squeezy bottle to don't let your girlfriend touch your asshole, you will instantly crave cock.
I know, especially like with any butt stuff, it's like, yeah. Well, no, it's gay. So, well, if a woman's putting something in your butt, it's surprise, not gay.
Yeah.
Like, right there, you're cleared, yeah. Man.
And I think it's kind of interesting. God, I want to go on this whole tack about how feminism is important to men for reasons like this, because I think what is perceived as masculine can be extremely restricting. And fucking dude on top, missionary position, in outgun. On a lady is just like, you know, that's fucking sex right there.
As with any monopoly, if that's all that's considered acceptable, it's not fun for a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, I would never pretend that every dude is like down with, you know, I'm going to spit in your face and then slap you and whip you around. Like, no, I would never ever say that. But I do think that there is pressure on dudes to not say anything about how, like, wow, I'm not into that.
And there's pressure to be incredibly performative.
Yeah.
But in a very safe way. There's no room for exploration and just chilling. And, you know, one of the things, I've said this to girls before. I mean, I bag on guys, but I bag on everybody, so don't worry about it. It's like, sometimes I'll see, you know, women who like to sleep with men get really upset, like, if they can't stay hard or they're not doing something.
Yeah.
And it's like that immediate, like, judgment in your voice. No man has ever maintained an erection while you're yelling at his balls. Like, just be kind. Like, even you know, even if it's the great Satan, straight white cis man, like,
or Jason Momoa's flaming cock.
Yeah. Like, just like there's so much shared potential for humiliation in a sexual act. It's like you have to be kind to everybody, just cross the board. So,
next question.
Spike, you mentioned seeing trends and the sort of submissions you get from year to year. What kind of thing do you see?
It depends on what's been in the movie theater.
Really?
Yeah. Like, 1 year, I got an awful lot of superheroes banging each other. I imagine the next time I do an open call, there'll be a lot of suspiciously large men with suspiciously large horns and their tiny boyfriends and or girlfriends. It's just, it really is based a lot on what I've seen in films.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know. Okay,
This is adorable.
Anyway, fun question. What's the weirdest porn you've ever watched?
Ooh. Ooh. Tear it out. I know, it's so cute.
There was a man, and his name was Mr. Hands, and this was at a farm somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, and Mr. Hands liked horses.
You watched that?
Oh, God, of course. God. Yeah, and Mr. Hands, the only reason anyone knows about him is apparently a sufficiently huge horse cock will punch a hole in your colon that you are too humiliated to go to the hospital and have fixed. So he died of septicemia because a horse dick punched a hole in his colon.
I don't want to seem unkind, but yeah, just like, you made your bed. You made a choice, like...
Chances are the emergency room is seen weirder.
Don't... Well, I,
okay,
that's,
maybe not.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at that point. Like, at that point, like, don't do the crime if you don't want to do the time.
Yeah, it reminds me of all the 911 calls. Yeah, I was just in my shower, and for some reason...
There's a bowling pin in my ass?
I keep a jar of pickles in my shower, and I said...
I ever saw was there was these two dudes dressed up in pterodactyl costumes, like not like realistic, but like snuggy kind of. And so they both have to keep flapping their arms. They're not actually like they're not suspended or anything. They're just like standing there flapping their arms. And then there's this girl and she's got like one in each hand and she's you know doing her thing. And then they'll get distracted and they'll like stop flapping.
I was given this as a gift. I once saw a man put a funnel in a girl's asshole and then fill that funnel with eels. Small eels. Just put them in. And what was crazy was there was the one eel, the last eel, kept jumping out of the funnel like, no, no, I didn't sign up for this shit, man.
Not again, never again.
Yeah, fill this girl's butt up with eels. Remove the funnel, and then another girl had a cup, and they played like some sort of delightful carnival game where they tried to catch as many eels in a cup as humanly possible,
and then eat them.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Those don't have a flared base. Couldn't it just like go all the way up?
What are you talking about?
The
wait,
eels or the funnel?
Eels or the funnel?
Wait, so like they were in the butt, right?
You they were. Yeah. The
these,
funnel these goes like, in the butt. I've seen
small
it too.
Eels. And this wasn't like an electric eel. I mean, they were filling like a mooring.
Emergency room is full of people that had a non-flared thing go up their butt and then they need a doctor to get it out. Like, I'm just imagining the x-ray where he's like,
what is this wiggly thing in it?
This is weirder than bowling pin guy.
Yeah. Dude, I'm so tame by comparison.
Also,
I used to live in Atlanta and I went to a live show for the Everything is Terrible group. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. They like put together all these weird bargain bin videos and mash them into giant movie-length features. But for warm-ups, what they do before their show is they like to show a snippet from an Austrian ET porno from like 1989. And this woman in an extremely skin-tight, wrinkly, raisin-esque textured ET costume being railed by a guy in an Edwardian costume. Waiting for like a movie, and I was drinking a milkshake. Extremely too tall ET being like railed by this dude, this Pride and Prejudice dude, and I was just like looking at my milkshake, like, "Are they drunk?" I was like in a room full of people. It was great.
One more, real quick, before we go on.
Yeah.
So there's another video you can find on. See, none of this shit qualifies as porn. I'm a terrible person, straight up. But there is a video you can find of a guy who likes to film himself putting things in his butt. And one of the things he decided to put in his butt was like a big glass jar. And he puts it on the ground, and he's slowly sitting down on it. And you know what glass does when a lot of pressure is applied? There's this one. He's barefoot when this is happening. He's letting himself down on the jar, and you hear the crack, and you see it like boom, and his toes just go. Sound this entire time, but he spends the rest of this video, and by this time, if you were watching it and you were prepared, you are fucking screaming, because he spends the rest of the video reaching back very carefully and pulling sharp shards of glass, and like, the, like seriously, the blood is pouring out of his asshole.
Childhood moments where you're like, what's this? I love this comic book. This is... They're taking their shirts off. They're... It was like this long, I mean, shoddily written. No, it was whatever. It was from the one half fan fiction. Like, if you're giving me free pornography, like, I'm not gonna bust your tits. But it was like every single pairing in that comic, like over the course of like multi chapters. And this was during the time when, like, you know, you wanted to be on the internet late at night, but the modem sound would just, and you're like, what I would do, like it's a mob murder, I would put a pillow over the modem and just lay across it and wait, and like I'd be looking like, is it dialed up? Good, I can read the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm a latecomer to porno, written porno, I should say. I'm just a really comics-oriented person, so most of what I was reading before I started making my own was I would look for creators on, like, manga scanslation sites, and I'd find maybe two or three that weren't obsessed with non-consensual sex, and I'd bookmark them, and I'd learn their names, and I'd search the internet for more scanslations by them.
Yeah.
And there are two or three out there that do some really amazing, not at all creepy stuff. And I relied on that for a while. And then, it's funny I should mention that TF2 thing. Yeah, someone linked me to something, and it was a porno about Team Fortress 2 characters. Because they're like, you like Team Fortress 2, Link. And it was about Heavy and Medic and just going at each other and like trying to keep it secret from everyone else on the team. But surprise, everyone else on the team also craves dick. Wow, what were the chances?
I guess I was kind of a latecomer to fan fiction as opposed to, like, you know, sexy comics and things like that. And I probably made up for, like, at least 5 years being a Rod Pacific Rim fan. I am just very pleased that Ron Perlman had a role in that movie. And so I have a great one where his character and Charlie Day's character have a grand old time.
I mean, it was Sonic the Hedgehog fan fiction.
Aww.
Last week about exactly what part of Bunny
we
Rabbit's
were, we were.
Bottom was
Yeah, here's the thing. Today. Bunny Rabbit has roboticized legs, and the thing is, she's got, like, a real tail, though, so debate rages whether or not her vagina is a bunny vagina or some sort of horrible, Cyber. Creepy robot vagina.
About who the next Pope should be, as opposed to, like, Sonic the Hedgehog, like, canon.
She has a tail. It's a normal flesh vagina. Stop ruining Bunny Rabbit.
Problem.
She is clearly depicted in the comics as having a roboticized torso. Sorry.
Okay, so I'm just gonna keep taking questions until you guys tell us it's over.
Yeah.
They told us not to kick you out.
Yay! Well,
I just want to start by saying I love the fact that in Oh Joy, you pick very very different body types. Mm. It's not just one thing.
Yeah. The
Masketeers, right?
Yes. Masketeers. Masketeers. Get it right.
Second, I'd like to say that my first print form of pornography was very much of penthouse forums, and I kept saying, wow, these guys are all assholes, and I don't want to have sex. This is the kind of asshole I have to be.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that there's something beyond that, and that shit still exists.
Thank you.
The question that I have is, you review a ton of sex toys.
Yeah.
Are they just like, you open your closet and just like
out? Like a bad infomercial, they all fumble into her hands.
So my husband and I bought a house, which was in part because of the money that we make from Ojoy. So like this sex comic helped us buy a house and pay a mortgage, which is really cool. And in that house is a built-in China hutch.
Keep going. I'm fascinated.
I'm about to verify all of this. I've been in.
Yeah. Okay. So it's in the living room. So like you walk in the front door and there's this beautiful living room, and there's supposed to be a dining room table in there, but instead we put a pole, like for
a stripper pole.
It's a stripper pole. And then just like immediately beyond that is the dildo hutch.
Where you keep the good china.
Time and effort into like organizing it and getting display things so things can have different levels and like be popped up this way and that way, and it's like, it's really pretty. We've made it look really nice.
My dildos can't be disharmonious.
Oh, and for the record, those are the sex toys that are fun to look at, but like the toys that we're gonna use in the bedroom are in the bedroom. So this is everything else. Yeah. So yeah. Alright.
Hi.
Hello.
I majored in Japanese gay pornography.
That's a fucking major?
Yeah.
I've been wasting my life.
You dress it up with a fancy name like homosexuality in contemporary media. Mm-hmm. And it turns out your professors will let you translate porn for your major.
Oh, I fucked up so bad.
There's a gay porn called Supercharged.
Okay.
All right. The premise is psychic hair gel.
Of course.
And well, I'm
done by an amateur like pornographer who decided to throw some plot and sci-fi crap into the gay
Are you
porn.
Saving that?
So
oh yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Supercharged.
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 Right on.
Hello.
Career-wise?
Career-wise, I'm doing great, man.
I'm just
my fantasies manifest.
The night that you want to spend and how it plays out.
Are you asking for us to describe actual sexual congress?
Yeah.
Or our work?
Yeah.
Sexual congress.
No.
Yeah. I can talk about how I develop interests that go into my work. Would that be sufficient?
Yeah, I want to hear that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Blue mentioned previously a switch being turned. And the switch being turned is like, oh, I realize I suddenly like X. I suddenly like Y. Of course, it makes sense now. And I had a switch turned on me maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And it happened on Tumblr. Thanks, Tumblr. And I was just sort of chilling out. And of course, you know, you go through your dash and you're looking at all the shit other people reblog. And I came across a photo, perhaps you've seen it, of a young man in public, not giving a fuck, and he was dressed in lovely black lingerie. He was in a garter belt and underpants and high-heeled shoes and a corset. And I was all like, yeah, I like this now. Because, like, oh, is that what cross-dressing can be? I don't know.
I was like, well,
that happens to me?
Yeah.
With the comic you're doing with Amanda Loughranay?
Yeah.
Spoilers about that.
Absolutely.
comic that Amanda Laughlin is illustrating. Spike is writing. It's on Slipshine. Yeah. Dot.
Slipshine. It's. I think it's Orgy Mania.
Orgy Mania. That's right. Anyway.
Surprise.
Anyway, and it, there's this guy who's awkward, and there's this girl who's kind of... Wait, is she aggressive?
No, the whole plot is there's a girl who runs a small business. She's one of these Etsy superstars who decides she's going to make soap and bubble bath, and her business explodes, and she has no idea how to handle it tax-wise, and she's kind of weirded out. She doesn't want, you know, to be audited. And her best friend ever, her BFF, is kind of a freak, you know, the kind of person who's got a FetLife account and goes to the play parties. And her friend goes, oh, you need an accountant? Oh, there's this total weirdo who keeps posting to all the cross-dressing forums saying, I will do your taxes if you let me do them in my fucking underwear. But it's like this lady's underwear. And, of course, Soap Girl is all like, no, I'm not like you. Stop. But eventually she gets talked into it because free accountant, hey. And it turns out, of course, because porn logic in a rainbow over my head, porn logic, he is extremely fucking cute. And, you know, his underwear is very tasteful. And he just, you know, he just wants a girl to watch him in his cute underwear with his see-through panties and a little boner going off to the side, his garter belt. I'm like, no, wait, nothing weird, nothing weird. You don't have to touch me or anything. I'll totally file your 1040 and whatever. I just need you to look.
Interesting about, I think some of the differences sometimes between, like, broadly speaking again, like men and women, is that you have an entire section in that comic where they are sitting at a cafe in a public place negotiating what is acceptable to them.
Yeah. And that's what you're supposed to do when you meet strangers on the internet.
Exactly. Yeah, if you're gonna do some weird fucked up shit, you need to hash out what kind of weird fucked up shit is not fucked up.
Like, even the most vanilla sex, like... There's so much, like, there's such a nice little beat that happens in a story where sex is involved, where people just stop and go, are we good? Yeah. And, like, once that happens, like, that makes whatever comes next be so much more real and great. And, like, and it just gains a whole other dimension. Like, no matter how vanilla or kinky or whatever it is, just having an are we good moment is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and just, like, I'm not down with porn that's, like, giggle-free. I'm not down with porn where people go into porn mode, it's like, oh, you like that, you whore. And it's like, what the fuck? Where'd that come from?
So just talking about, like, stuff that informed the work you do. So the two stories that I've done for Smut Peddler
features... disgusting.
They're filthy. But it features a threesome between two dudes and a lady. And Rodel Dorado showed up on Netflix. And I was like... I told my husband, I'm like, baby, we've got to watch this. And I'm sitting there watching it with my husband. And at one point, he's watching Tulio Miguel's interactions. And he just goes, oh, my God. These are the two gay lots from your story. And I looked at her and I'm like, I told you it fucked my shit up. Because it seriously, that was like when it started. It was like, do you like vulture and the more you cook together, the better. Just get all the dicks up in there.
Yeah. But yeah, that cute boy in public in his black girder belt.
Spike. I have things that I've liked on my dash so that I can send to you. Like, every time I see, like, a hot dude in underwear, I'm like,
After I read that chapter, because it ends on just this big, beautiful shot of him with his cock going off to the side and his lacy underwear, and I was like, I never knew I liked this until I saw it just now, and now I follow a Tumblr that's just like,
Muscling the heels, right?
I don't remember what it's called. It's
like a fucking dude who's like maybe, you know, just like, he's not shaven or anything, he's got like the hairy chest and the hairy legs.
Yeah, it's not like maybe a forced feminization.
No, it's just 5-4 o'clock shaft, you know, just like 3 or 4 days.
Hairy dude.
He's like, he's in a fucking corset and he's just got the garter belt on and he's just sitting there like, and what?
Have you guys seen the Joseph Gordon-Levitt picture?
Yes. That's a Photoshop. In like these fucking, it's good. Right. I'm sorry.
Next question.
Yeah.
So on the topic of realistic sex and sex that real humans would have every day, how would somebody who wants to get into smutty comics find resources on accurate human body parts? Because porn.
Yeah, it's a little
touchy. Um,
there are resources you can find. There are a lot of body positive Tumblr photo things.
Yeah, Tumblr is really the place. A lot of my photo references for almost everything.
Yeah, come from Tumblr. Yeah, there are people on DeviantArt who do nothing but poses for artists, and they sometimes attempt to get multiple body types in there. That's pretty useful. But really, most of my reference comes from Tumblr, too.
Also, if you live in a college town, life drawing classes.
Yeah, life drawing classes.
Very helpful.
I found, because I try to draw a really wide variety of body types, and it's, Tumblr is one of my favorite resources, but it can be hard to be like, no, I want this specific body, and this specific, wow, specific.
You can do it.
I love it. Help me. I found that Crashpad, the queer porn site, is, like, oh my god, every single type of body, fucking every single other type of body, every kind of gender identity, it's a gold mine if you want to draw people fucking who do not look like mainstream porn stars.
Yeah, mainstream porn stars are, I mean, in a lot of ways they're like sex cyborgs.
It's very sanitized. Like there's not a straight hair.
Yeah.
There's no sweat.
That and they have had body, a lot of them have had, you know, body modifications to sort of reach this idealized state that very few people have, and it's just sort of this agreed upon, you weigh 110 pounds but your tits are double D kind of body that doesn't exist in the wild, and it's just, I mean, it's what sells, I guess, so that's why they do it, but it's not...
And it's not hating on anybody,
no,
who makes
not at all.
Money that way.
Honestly, the way I look at it, like, when people have these conversations, like, I think Nicki Minaj has butt implants, and she'll so fucking what if she does? Her body's her business, you know? Like, and literally, it makes her money. Yeah. So she's making an investment in her business, so
also,
he gives a shit, but...
Don't fuck around with Nicki Minaj,
all right? Right on.
Thing is, though, like, once you are able to get access to, like, what people look like outside that very specific thing, you will find that, like, things that are usually airbrushed out can be very titillating, very appealing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, things like, you know, those little squeezy bits on the side of your torso.
Yeah, when you wear tight clothing and the fat just
like,
sort of...
Oh, that's above the top.
Yeah.
I actually have less than one. That just happened to me.
Yeah. But yeah, I find that, like, depictions of softness are very...
Yeah.
Very,
I mean, flaws. Like, it looks like a person that you would actually meet and have a relationship with. Yeah. Blue, your comic, like, the first one that you did in the first month, Heather, you draw women that I am attracted to, which is something that I so very seldom see. I don't see, like butch, like, heavy women, like, women with muscles, you know?
Yeah.
Depicted in a lot of pornography ever.
Yeah. And
because
like,
that'll change very soon. Are you aware of a game called Overwatch?
Oh, don't let me start.
There's a character named Zarya. Maybe 3 months after it comes... No, 3 minutes. After it comes out, just search Zarya on Tumblr. You'll get all the butch women.
I can't deal with swole women. Like, carry me around like a suitcase. Just fuck me up.
Yeah. I remember, like, because I've drawn sexy comics with, like, women who are, like, super muscular, women who are just really big, and... Yeah, Tumblr is a great resource for, like, you know, Tumblr loves their gifts of, like, women weightlifters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and you can get just amazing, future. Like, you know, you never see women like that who are just built like a fridge and are really charming and cute and, like, you
know,
that's just, it's great.
But, next question?
Yeah. Okay, I guess this is maybe not as funny or as sexy as some of the other questions have been, but I don't know. It's to me, so, obviously, with Smoke Peddler and stuff, a lot of the things that you guys are doing, I would assume, is are more short-form pieces, and I hope
this is going where I hope it's going.
I don't know. I guess, personally, I kind of like seeing, or reading just long-form erotica, and like, you can get more out of a long-term story, like...
Who wants to know some secrets?
Oh, wait, before you go, I'm getting desperate texts from my husband saying, you're supposed to be here.
Yeah.
So I think I need to actually take off.
Okay.
And you guys continue. Keep talking.
Yeah.
I'm going to go perform my wifely duties.
Okay. Bye, Erica!
I'm at booth 1318. If you guys want to come buy some of my dirty books.
Yeah. Okay, it's funny you should mention how much much you like long-form erotic stories, because I also like long-form erotic stories. And this summer, I will be kickstarting a project called the Smut Peddler Doubleheader. And, and one of them will be an anthology, but it'll be a little different. It'll be full color, and it'll be themed. And the theme is My Monster Boyfriend. And the second one will be something I am writing, and a Slipshine artist named Ghost Green is illustrating. It's about 130, 140 pages, and it is about the 1960s, think Mad Men with palm trees, and it's in California, and it is about a femdom threesome. So it's called Yes Roya, because that's the woman's name. And it's about a woman who lives with her strapping, you know, all-American, Aryan-ass husband. And she's like this little brown woman, and they pretend she's the illustrator of his incredibly popular comic strip.
They pretend he's the illustrator.
Oh, they pretend he's the illustrator, yeah, because, you know, it's the 60s. And someone finds out about it, and he is intrigued, you know? So that...
Wait, are you Road to El Dorado-ing?
No, definitely not. It's different. But, yeah,
no, that's
that
just
out.
For the two dude, like, one chick threesome.
If you are interested in more long format pornography from me with, like, the kind of sensibilities I go for, back that Kickstarter, because if I get some kind of proof of concept going, that's when the open submissions happen for people to submit proposals for long form graphic novels to be published under the Smut Peddler Presents label.
To read, she had the gall to send me a script that ended halfway. I was so
dirty.
I'm actually working on something right now that should be steadily updating online called Bra House, which is takes place in a fantasy universe in a brothel with reoccurring characters and illustrated by a bunch of different artists, so I'm definitely into the long form.
I totally agree. The long form is something.
Because you can get the feelings and like some.
Absolutely.
Like
lots of character building.
Yeah, like a lot of deep interpersonal stuff, because like the way that people behave in bed with each other is super particular. Like you only get to see that piece of a person for that one second, you know?
But I'm still a one person outfit, and I can't afford to lose money on books, so I have to, you know, belt and suspenders. I have to test something before I can just go out on a limb and just do it. If I knew for a fact this would work, I would have already solicited for three different things to be published in 2017. But right now, I need to make sure there's something out there to buy it first.
Just in case there's money in pornography.
Just
in case.
Yeah.
Hey, help me, boys. So, as somebody who got my pornographic start in the literary world, literary porn, one thing I really noticed early on is the euphemisms will kill a story very quick.
Her mound. Her delicate petals.
Her pistols.
Her dirty pillows.
It's throbbing meat.
Don't ever, if you want to do this shit, the word meat needs to not ever. I don't care in what context, I don't care if you think you can get fancy and you can do, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't fly too close to the sun.
So my question is, what is the worst euphemism you've found?
Oh God, I'm really about to shut my ass on this one. One of the stories I kill feed for Smut Peddler in the past, I believe, used the anvil of Hephaestus for a vagina.
What?
The anvil for a vagina. The anvil of Hephaestus.
How does that work?
It's a Greek god themed thing, and it was all.
Yeah, but an anvil is.
Hammer me like the anvil of Hephaestus.
Yeah, but you don't jam a hammer into it, you hit it like this.
And this is why it is not in the.
That's fun for a couple seconds, but after that, you need to, like, figure it out.
Yeah. That was. I mean, I don't often cringe reading things, but I was like, no.
There was a.
You can't sit with us.
Yeah. There was a. Book that Tanika Stotts, who's an excellent creator, she gave me the PDF of this book called Night Moves, which is about a woman who ends up traveling back through time through a toilet stall into like the most egregiously fucking ridiculous like medieval time, and it wasn't exactly a euphemism, but it was more like
like, I wanted to, like, take this woman aside and be like, do you need to see a doctor? Because I don't think you understand, like, your cervix isn't supposed to vibrate.
I think yours is just broken.
No, that's, like, bad car part territory. Like,
mine comes with an intensity slider and
a dimmer switch.
It's like a Siemens, like, sleepy time bed sleep number.
Yeah.
You hear go.
Clitoris works like a clapper.
Yes, hello, hi.
Are you okay?
It's just hilarious. First of all, I want to say thank you to all three of you and Erica
in spirit.
Because I was one of those women who thought she wasn't into visual porn. Fanfic porn, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, Inuyasha. But,
Miko Takahashi really did for, you know, like a lot of us. Yeah.
My question is actually more about, like, personal, your guys' personal experience. Like, how did you guys get, or did you guys have this issue of, like, accepting your own body and, like...
It's funny. I've been pretty much everything you can be. I was extremely skinny in my early 20s. I spent my mid-20s as a bodybuilder. And, yeah, I know, look at me now. But I was, in my mid-20s, I was a bodybuilder. Yeah, really, you've seen the photo, right? Oh.
Yeah. Slide that across the table, man.
Yeah, I look pretty fucking good, I must say.
Yeah.
But then I stopped being a bodybuilder, and what happened to me is what happened to a lot of guys from the NFL. They go from burning 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 calories a day to burning 2,500, and they don't stop eating. Like, they're burning 5,000 or 6,000 calories a day. And I turned into a chubster, so I'm fluffy now. And I have always had some kind of reservation, no matter what I looked like. But I honestly think one of the most, this is not very progressive, but one of the things that really sort of helped me not care about it too much is I had a husband who loved me no matter what I looked like. And for a while there, that really amazed me. Like, oh my God, but... Yeah, I was so, like, skinny and gross back then. How could you love me? It's like, oh, I was so buff back then. Look at me now. How could you love me? And that helped a lot. That was, like, really, it made me not worry. And it doesn't hurt that, like, every once in a while now he'll come up behind me and just start, like, squeezing my butt. And go, oh, God, your ass. Fucking pie for dinner.
Hang on, it's feelings.
I'm not sure if any of you nerds can relate to this, but I got bullied really, really badly.
No.
When I was in school. Yeah, I know. Fucking mind-blowing. And a lot of that was centered on my looks in particular, like my hair. I got really good at just, like, weathering it. And because, like, having a reaction only made it worse. Like, one time I ate lunch while, like, a girl had her hand wrapped around my hair, just, like, yanking the shit out of it. And I ate my entire Salisbury steak like that, because I was just like, it's cool, it's gonna end at some point, or you'll die. Either way. And, you know, a lot of it was, like, abuse from boys and things like that, in particular. And, like, I didn't have girlfriends until I was 16 or something, and I mean that in, you know, just, like, a friendship way. And it kind of got to the point where it's like, well, this is hard, but it's not killing me. And when I went away to college, I left the Midwest and I went to San Francisco to study art. And that was when it was like, people found me attractive and not in a total, like, fucked up way. It was weird. And it's just over time, and especially as I've gotten older, and maybe going a little crazy, I can admit that, but I also, the beautiful part of that is that I don't give a good motherfuck anymore what any man thinks of me.
Yeah.
I wasn't put on this earth to make you happy or make you dick.
I don't have to be pretty for fucking anyone.
Yeah, like,
don't get me wrong, I'm adorable.
Or they don't like the way my body is shaped, then delightful. Don't tell me about it. Yeah. I don't care.
You'll never fucking touch it ever in your entire goddamn life. What do you care?
It's not my business.
Jesus. And also, I got married to, like...
I don't answer to you.
Yeah, I don't answer to you. And, like, for the most part, that served me well. Like, I've had a bunch of, like, great sexual partners and things like that. And, like, I'm back to total good-looking, funny dude who loves me no matter what, so...
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of like one of the... Honestly, age has a lot to do with it. Being more comfortable in yourself has a lot to do with it. Just developing as a person. And it's so anti-progressive to say shit like this, but a good partner just does so much.
I don't even feel like it's... I'm not fair to say that it's anti-progressive, because it's...
Yeah.
If you want companionship, you want...
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily even, like, significant partners. I think it's just being surrounded by a community of healthy relationships.
Yeah.
I think, like, the fact that I was a late bloomer in that respect, and that I did not have to deal with all these weird urges super early when I was really dumb and didn't trust people to ask questions about stuff like that. Like, the fact that I, you know, became interested in men and women, and then I discovered comics with, like, healthy attitudes about sex and, like, friends and partners that I trusted, like, that nipped a lot of my weird insecurities in the butt. So I was able to go from feeling invisible and being invisible and just dealing with being invisible to, you know, experimenting safely and, like, having the right language to talk about with my friends and partners and, you know, being able to, you know, not have to be pretty for anyone but myself if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, there's a certain confidence in knowing how you want to look and how you feel good in your own body.
And believe it or not, I want to look like this.
Yeah, figuring out that I didn't have to wear, like,
this
a hoodie
and
sweatpants
just hot
every day and, you know, dress however I want to look and be happy with however I'm doing it.
I grew up with an extremely feminine mother who really valued very feminine things, and I was a catastrophic disappointment, absolutely. And, you know, it took me a while to get past. When I was, like, 16, I used to think there was something wrong with me because I wasn't interested in makeup, but I wasn't interested in clothes. And, you know, you come to terms with stuff like that. You get older, you get more secure. And, you know, now, like, who fucking cares? Your opinion of what I look like and what I'm wearing today was unsolicited, and I will forget it instantly. So thanks for sharing.
Hello. I mentioned a fan fiction we talk about fan fiction on the panel. The video you're talking about was called Fantastic Press, and where to find them. I don't know if anyone else remembers that. Also, Erica Mon and you mentioned Crash Pad earlier. Do you guys have any other recommendations for queer or non-conforming porn? Because I haven't been able to find a lot of other video porn that I actually like.
Video porn, not so much. There's a lot of queer porn in comics right now. I mean, if you know where to look anyway.
Crash Pad is very good. I don't know if you're into, you know, two dude stuff. Gay stuff. Two dude stuff. Just two dudes having a
just picnic. Going at each other.
There's a performer that I really like, Dale Cooper and Colby Keller are really good. I think generally if you just, like, type their names into, you know, whatever your totally legit, you know, service provider is. Their stuff has been really good. I would fucking cut off three of my toes for some good butch porn. Like, I haven't found it. I mean, video-wise, I think it's the mainstream that really caters to male gays has such a stranglehold on the industry.
Yeah.
And it makes so much money that there really hasn't been room for anybody to get in.
Yeah. If you have a question, can you get to the mic so everyone... Hub?
Hub.
Sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
Took a minute.
Well,
it's been a long day.
The thing with Hump is that what it is it's amateur videos, and it tends to really broadly showcase, you know, a lot of different body types and what people are into and sexualities and genders. But after they're viewed in a theater, they're basically
destroyed.
Like I'm doing to the panel.
It is all like it's self-submitted amateur porn that everyone gets together and cuts together into one big cut. And
I've been to. I mean, it's almost like seeing like a film fest.
Yeah,
I've been to one, and I mean, it's really fun and it's great. It was beautiful. We had these like two middle-aged ladies behind us, and they were reading off of the list
program.
Of film titles, and it was like your mom was behind you going. Okay, so what's the next one we got? Rumpy Pumpy. My favorite
pizza man. Oh, I hope that one's good. We had pizza for dinner, didn't we, Shirley?
Like, read the whole thing like that. I'm sitting there with my husband. My husband's like, please don't keep going. Please just stop talking.
Yeah. But quite frankly, I've completely abandoned video porn. It's like it's all comics now.
I have faith. You know, I just keep going. I just keep bashing my head against that turgid concrete wall.
Yeah.
Shit.
Any other questions? We good to go? All right.
Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much. I'm at table 807.
Yeah, sit the fuck down. You have to hear me.
If you want a copy, you better come Saturday because I don't have many left.
And I am at the Northwest Press booth, which is like 12,000.
You don't even know.
I don't even know. I just came here to talk about bummers. Yeah, but Bull Riley is for sale at the Northwest Press booth. We're a queer-oriented publisher, so just look for the rainbows and shit. Trust me, you can find us.
I'm at table 807. I have a sexy side story that accompanies my Safe for Work online comic that I also have for sale.
Yes,
come see me there.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.